Facebook CEO gets the memo on privacy. I'm Deepa Brancaccio in New York. The social media advertising and big data company Facebook came under fire again this week after it emerged that user phone numbers Facebook collected as a security precaution can be used as a way to see a person's private profile. Then yesterday, the CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, announced in a lengthy online post that his company is now in the process of coordinating its Instagram, WhatsApp, and Facebook Messenger properties to create for users a kind of online private space. Zuckerberg calls this a digital living room, where communications will apparently be more private and encrypted. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
To a lot of folks who study this stuff, the timing of this announcement to focus on privacy seemed strange.
I don't get it. I don't get why they would ever have done this. I don't get it.
Karen North teaches digital social media at USC. With the phone numbers this week, talk of a federal fine on top of the Cambridge Analytica scandal, North says people now assume Facebook is selling their data. And it'll be tough to sell the company as an expert in privacy.
It just comes across as completely inauthentic.
In the announcement, Zuckerberg admitted the company has an uphill battle, saying, quote, "We don't currently have a strong reputation for building privacy protective services," unquote. But he assured folks Facebook can build it. University of North Carolina professor Zeynep Tufekci says a problem is that Zuckerberg isn't addressing the company's business model.
Facebook itself is this big surveillance machine, and they're talking about privacy without talking about what they do.
Which is collect data and sell it. She says even if it can reinvent itself as a privacy company, Facebook will face even more difficulty moderating content, because if that's all private, who's there to tell you to take it down? I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
The U.S. Federal Reserve is ending publicly published grades for some of its stress test exams, in which the largest banks were getting pass or fail marks on whether they could keep lending during a severe financial crisis. This is the latest and one of the biggest steps in easing financial scrutiny measures that were put into place after the 2008 financial crisis. Marketplace's Erica Barris is here with more.
The Fed is going to stop giving these pass or fail grades on one half of its stress test for domestic banks, where regulators look at a bank's internal data and judge how the bank assesses its own risks. These changes could make it easier for banks to get approval from regulators to pay higher dividends or buy back their own shares. Back in 2014, when Citigroup failed the stress test for 2 years straight, the Fed didn't allow Citigroup to increase dividends and repurchase stock. And it will cut down the chance of the Fed surprising markets with bad news about the banks.
What's the early reaction been from the banks?
Banks have long been critical of the stress tests and say the banking system is secure. So for them, that's a relief. Critics say a less transparent financial system could set the stage for a repeat of the 2008 crisis.
All right. So give us a sense, Erica, of what this new era of oversight is going to look like.
The Fed is still going to be running these tests, but the results will now be private. And the Fed says slip-ups could still warrant consequences, and banks could still get public failing grades for another part of the same exam that makes sure they have enough cash on hand.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's do the numbers. The 100 share index in London is down 0.4%. Dow, S&P and Nasdaq futures are also down. The Dow future down 0.3%. The S&P future down not quite that far.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Now to one of the most powerful corporate lobbies in Washington, making a case for governing from what it sees as the center. I spoke about this with the CEO of Allstate Insurance, Tom Wilson, who's also chairman of the board of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which has now altered its grading system for politicians. Mr. Wilson, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be with you, David.
So the chamber has its agenda, and I assume you twist arms in Washington to carry out that agenda. But there's been some rethinking of this in recent months.
What we've tried to do is take a broader position and say America belongs to everybody. And so for the first time in 40 years, we're changing the way we evaluate politicians. Now we give them points for working together and working across the aisle, even if it's something we disagree with.
How's it work?
So a politician can get 100 points in total, and they can get up to 20 points for just working with other people across the aisle. So you can get 10 points for co-sponsoring a bill, or you can get 10 points for working and joining a bill that somebody from the other party did.
So it's not just a promise, because just about every man and woman elected to higher office or lower office says they want to be bipartisan. But this is something that you'd rate as a practical matter.
Yes, and we pass this out to all the state and local chambers. We let them know, here's what we think about this person. So you think about it that way, you can get 70 points or 7 out of 10, which is a pretty good grade, for just agreeing with the chamber half the time. And that's because the politicians, you know, they're in a box, right? They're trying to get reelected. They got both ends of the spectrum beating them up. And so they need some help. And we're saying, let's govern from the center. If we govern from the center, that'll be good for America.
So you want to see some deals done because you feel that the current state of politics has left, well, I mean, what's the common metaphor, of course, is gridlock.
Yeah, well, you know, and they're capable of doing it. Look what they did with justice reform at the end of last year. Boom, went through quickly. You know, we need to do things like the trade agreements with Canada and Mexico. They shouldn't be big fights on either end. We need to do something on DACA and immigration. And that's something you can work across party lines. And we have to get people to say, you know, the center is a safe place.
Now, that has been unveiled. Is it in practice now?
It's in practice this year. We unveiled it at the beginning of the year. And we're just one voice. I mean, we're a large voice in Washington, but we'd like other people to join with us and say, you know, like, come back to the center. Make some deals. Move forward. Don't shut the government down.
Tom Wilson is chairman of the board, U.S. Chamber of Commerce, also CEO of Allstate. Mr. Wilson, thanks.
Thank you, David.
Now, I also asked Wilson to swap hats and spoke to him as Allstate CEO about that company's work on a system to help customers shut down or manage the flow of their private data to any outside company. That was in Wednesday's Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed, if you missed it on the air. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.